because it's in the Word of God. And so I think that it's something that we should take a look at and make sure that we have in our lives. We're also going to talk about another aspect today. And because of that aspect of God's mercy, I want to tell you about the folks of JITS Concrete. They are in the construction business. They primarily deal with foundations. They deal with block work and concrete work. They've got decades of experience. They've got decades of expertise, and they are networked together. They know they've got all the tools that are necessary. They know the suppliers. They know the different strengths and ingredients that need to go on. Everything that you need for a good solid foundation or concrete work, whatever you, I mean, they're fully skilled. It's not just foundational work. They can do whatever needs to be done with concrete. And I want to encourage you, if you've got a building project coming up, give them a call, 321-536-5804. That gets you to Greg, and tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So today we are going to be in Psalm 89. Psalm 89 is written by a guy by the name of Ethan the Ezrahite. And I don't know about you, but Ezrahite's not a word you see very often. So probably not too many people have paid attention to the work of Ethan the Ezrahite, but we're going to look at it. Psalm 89, it's got 52 verses, and so we're not going to read all of those verses today, but want to read the first couple of verses because they talk about mercy. Then we're going to drop down to verse number 13, and then we'll read a few verses like from 24 to 29. So Psalm 89, verse number 1 says this: I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. Drop down to verse number 13. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand and high as your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. To verse number 24 of Psalm 89. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Also I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Today we are going to be talking about seeking truth and mercy. And again, these are partnered with righteousness and truth. But in verse number 14 of Psalm 89, it says this about mercy and truth. It says, they go before God's face. They go before God's face. A lot of people would tell you that they want the presence of God in their lives. It is my belief that when people come to church, they should experience not a good sermon, not a good musical performance. They should experience the presence of God. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about in verse number 8:22, it says, therefore, tongues are for a sign not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report, get this, that God is truly among you. We cannot afford as believers to only have Emmanuel, God, with us during the Christmas season. His presence is the distinctive that differentiates us from social clubs or country clubs or organizations that do good deeds. It's his presence that makes the difference. And there is no program that you can substitute for his presence. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do we get to the place where we are living in, walking in, and experiencing regularly the presence of God? Okay, there needs to be a first encounter, but then there needs to be an appreciation, and it says, look, because of that, there's nothing less than his presence that is ever going to satisfy. And so somebody was preaching. We had an evangelist back in October named Danny Duvall, and we'll have him back again. He was preaching one night. He was talking to this theologian, this renowned theologian, and he was asking him, he's like, well, what is the difference between Pentecostal and charismatic? And he said, well, from a practical aspect, there's very little to differentiate between Pentecostal and charismatic. Both believe in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, perhaps if there is a distinction, the distinction would be this, that Pentecostals want the operation of the gifts to be so that people will come and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, where charismatic, now this is just a person's opinion, okay? I'm just sharing what this guy said. He's a pretty smart guy. He said, where charismatics tend to want to experience the presence of God for the experience, you know, and so whether that's healings or tongues or any of that, but the real thing is, if you go back to Acts chapter 2 and the original outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter goes on and starts preaching, and it says, and so everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the ultimate goal of the gifts of the Spirit, is for people to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get there? Well, Psalm 89 says this, that this partnership that God has created between his eternal truth, his absolute truth, and his flawless mercy, his chesed, that those are necessary. They go before his face. Jesus would send the disciples in the New Testament. He sent them to villages that he was getting ready to go to. God's truth and God's mercy prepare the path, if you will. They prepare the people. They prepare a community for a supernatural manifestation of God's presence. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want him just to be there as a spectator or a visitor. I want him to be there with the authority the decrees, the mandates. I want him to be there as the ruling monarch of that locale. And so right before it says mercy and truth go before him, it says righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. So we have the truth of God and the mercy of God that go before him, and we have righteousness and justice that form the foundation of the throne room of God. So here's the starting point that I want to share with you today. If you want the manifest presence of God in your life, we need to welcome his truth. We need to welcome his mercy, and we need to practice it. We need to put it into good use. I attended a Promise Keepers Pastors event in 1996, I believe it was. It was in Atlanta, Georgia, and there was a pastor that was up there. I believe he came from someplace in Pennsylvania. There were 40,000 pastors, and that's a long time ago. It's over 25 years ago, so details are somewhat less clear than they were back in those days. And he talked about this verse that says, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst. And he said, now, I want you to understand how I read that verse. He said, when I read that verse, he says, if you can get any two or three believers to agree on anything on earth, God says, I want to come and see it for myself. And I know this, that God wants to establish his throne room right in the midst, not on the outskirts of your life, not on the outskirts of a church, but he wants to be the central focus of the church. My theology isn't the focus of the church. God is the focus. And so if you're looking for the throne room of God, now, let's be honest, there are a lot of people who want the blessings of God in their life, but they do not want the commandments of God in their life, because that kind of infringes on some of our carnal nature's tendencies. Well, I've got to be honest with you, and that is this: my carnal nature has never accomplished one good thing in my life. Not one good thing. But I tell you what has accomplished a lot of good things in my life, and that is the sovereign ruling and reigning of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what prepares the path, what prepares an atmosphere so that God comes and rules and reigns? Well, first of all, it is saying what matters is God's truth, not my opinion. What matters is that this is a place where people receive mercy from God and disperse mercy to those around them, that it is a place that is concerned with righteousness and holiness, and that it's a place of justice. Okay? So that's the first thing. I mean, we got to make those preparations. Now, let's go back to verse number one for just a moment. And it says this: I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I've got to be honest. This is a passage that, even though you had maybe never focused on Ethan the Ezrahite being the author of this passage before, that there's an old Christian chorus that goes with this. And so whenever I read it, I'm tempted. I remember it because of the song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. And with my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. I can remember that. You don't want me singing it. but that I remember the song. And so I pray that the mercy of God would be on prominent display, not only in your life, but it will manifest in the words that you speak. Okay. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling just right here. We live in a day and time where social media has given just about everyone a platform. And that platform is used by most people for whatever thought comes across their head to be published so that everybody can see it. And I just want to tell you this. A long time ago, God said this to me. He said, just because something crosses your mind doesn't mean it's supposed to cross your lips. The thing with social media is that a lot of people look at that and they say, well, there's no consequences if I put this out there. Well, I want you to know that in my life, the Holy Spirit is not only interested in controlling the words that come out of my mouth, he's also interested in controlling the words that might be published on a social media platform. And so you need to ask yourself this, is what I'm getting ready to say, is it spiritual truth or is it personal opinion? Is what I'm getting ready to publish, is it full of mercy or is it less than merciful? Social media is not a place where mercy is in abundant supply. It's not demonstrated, it's not displayed prominently. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, it's where people's carnality manifests. I know people who have published things on Facebook and it cost them their jobs. And the thing about that was the things that they said were true, but it wasn't received in a positive manner. And they ended up losing their job. I've got my own opinion about that, but it's just that. It's just an opinion. So make sure that your words are seasoned with mercy and that they're saturated with the truth of God. The second point that I want to focus on today is in verse number 2. It says, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. So here's what Ethan the Ezrahite said. He said, mercy shall be built up forever. He was going, I looked up that word because in all honesty, when I researched this, verse number one comes to mind. I can sing verse number one to you. I couldn't recall ever focusing on verse number two before. And so I had to go and say, okay, God, what does this mean? And so that word built up forever, it means to create a secure atmosphere. That it is something that is treated with luxury and that it has a permanent assignment. It's not something that's fleeting. So I want you to maybe have a different mindset about mercy today, where you do a little building up, a little fortifying of mercy in your life. See, a lot of people have the approach, oh, well, if I just blow it, I can confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. But what Ethan wrote here was this. I am so appreciative of God's mercy being shown to me that I'm not going to do anything to abuse mercy because I consider it a luxury in my life. Luxuries are things that are over and above what, you know, you might expect to be reasonable. Do you realize how luxurious, what a blessing God's mercy is in your life? You know, I believe it's Dave Ramsey. You ask him, how are you? He said, I'm better. I'm being treated better than I deserve. Being treated better than I deserve. Now, there are some people that do not like Dave Ramsey because he looks at finances through a biblical lens. And I'm not sure that Dave's personality is the most merciful personality that's out there. He's pretty straightforward because he's been through the rough patches, and he doesn't want anybody to experience those rough patches. So he's got I tell you, the bigger the operation, the more policies there have to be in place. Ethan says, I realize that God's mercy is luxurious, and so I'm going to do everything I can not to abuse that mercy, but I'm going to protect it because I don't want mercy to be a fleeting experience. I want it to be a permanent fixture in my life. What have you done in your life that takes the mercy of God, that's partnered with God's truth, and said, man, I know it's only because of the mercy of God that, you know, I haven't been killed. It's only by the mercy of God that sickness didn't take me out. It's only by the mercy of God that, you know, I've had my job all these years. It's only by the mercy of God that I have the privilege of calling on his name. God here in Psalm 89, he takes control over Ethan's psalm, and he starts talking about his relationship with Jesus. And just about every believer that I know of wants to have a relationship, you know, because we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. That means that the type of relationship that Jesus had with the Father, that we also should long to have that in our life. And it says, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. Do you realize that it was necessary? It's a messianic prophecy from Psalm 89 that the mercy of God was going to be on full display in the sinless life of Jesus Christ. So it is a serious understatement of God's mercy to think that it is only poured out to us whenever we sin. Jesus never sinned, but he dealt with a lot of people. And if you're going to deal with a lot of people, you're going to need the mercy of God in your life. I make a joke that, you know, we're Pentecostals. We believe in the laying on of hands, and there are some people that really make me want to lay hands on them from time to time. Just joking. I don't. But you know, there's some people that you need the mercy of God. And so whenever I'm dealing with a situation that is less than pleasant, rather than deal with that in my anger, I go into my prayer closet and say, God, I need you to deal with me so that I can deal with these people with the truth of God and with the mercy of God, not with the emotions of Bob. So just remember, God promised that his faithfulness is mercy. So it's not just a two-pronged partnership as we're seeking truth. I want you to see that. Here, it's faithful. It's God's faithfulness and his mercy shall be with Jesus. And verse number 28 says, my mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. And you say, that's fantastic. I'm really grateful for that. I'm glad that God keeps his mercy with Jesus forever. It's a wonderful thought. I'm glad that his covenant with Jesus is still standing firm. And I'm thankful that because of that covenant, he's done all of the work that is necessary, things that we couldn't fulfill under the old covenant. Jesus came along and did. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets so that we could live in a new covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's marvelous. What's it got to do with me now? verse number 29. His seed, his spiritual descendants, if you will, also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. We are born again. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ because of the work of Jesus Christ. And God wants his mercy to be in operation in our life because he wants you to endure forever. There is a huge segment of society that has the nature of God all messed up. They think that God is up there and he is, you know, jubilantly going to send people into an eternal hell apart from him. That's not the nature of God at all. Doesn't mean that there's not a hell. There is a hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. There is also going to be people who are going to experience an eternity separate from God, not because God chose it, but because they rejected the mercy of God. Whatever you do, please do not reject the mercy of God, because the mercy of God, the truth of God, are necessary for his presence, and you and your family need the presence of God in your home, in your workplace, in our church. And because of that, we need to publicly proclaim the mercies of God are in operation in my life, and I'm going to build up mercy forever. I pray that you realize today there is a present manifestation of God's mercy in your life today, and go and show mercy to those around you. You have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.